The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Isn't socialism about conformity? Socialism will make us all like lemmings. This idea, delicately stoked by the press and television of a capitalist society, which is increasingly stamping sameness and conformity on its working people, was aided by images and stories of people in the so-called communist regimes. We saw people wearing identical clothing, school children mouthing slogans by rote to the great leader, work and leisure time regimented to the hour, row upon row of drearily identical buildings, the absence of any public debate, and so on. But the system of totalitarian conformity that Stalin and Mao imposed in the Soviet Union and China, respectively, had nothing to do with socialism. Rather, it was part of a policy designed to regiment and dragoon the population, as the military does its soldiers, into making the maximum exertion for the purposes of building up industrial and military strength. This swift, blitzkrieg-style industrialization required strict labor discipline. Along with that went an ideology emphasizing national unity and strict conformity to the dictates of the party bureaucracy, centered around a deified leader, the infamous cult of personality. Thank you, Comrade Stalin, for our happy childhood. Russian students were required to stay in class. One Chinese official sang this hymn of praise to Chairman Mao at the 1955 National People's Congress. Quote, "The sun shines only in the day, the moon shines only at night. Only Chairman Mao is the sun that never sets." End quote. The irony of the Cold War is that the United States exhibited its own brand of stifling conformity, particularly in the 1950s. The climate of fear surrounding the anti-communist witch hunts, and the sterile clichés offered up by film, television, and advertising of suburban family life, sent a clear message that uniformity was paramount. Never mind that these images really didn't conform to reality. A 1957 novel expresses some of this frustration felt at the sameness of mass-produced suburban tract housing. Quote, "In any one of these new neighborhoods, be it in Hartford or Philadelphia, you can be certain all other houses will precisely be like yours, inhabited by people whose age, income, number of children, problems, habits, conversation, dress, possessions, and perhaps even blood type are also precisely like yours." End of section. Mass market capitalism imposes conformity on the majority. This is true both at work and outside work. At work, we are expected to follow strict rules about our time and behavior. We are expected to follow a dress code. We churn out the same product day in and day out with no let-up, and we have very little control over the process. Outside of work, we are, quote, "mass consumers," coaxed, exhorted, and seduced into showing up in our millions to buy exactly the same product, whether it is an Egg McMuffin, each one indistinguishable from the other, or a toaster oven. Only the wealthy have the money and leisure to have palaces built by craftsmen, send their kids to the best schools, and take vacations in private jets. But it does not have to be this way. The alternative is not between two different brands of conformity. Real equality is not about the leveling of personality or experience, but the creation of an equality of condition. Not an equality of scarcity, but of abundance. Socialism means providing basic necessities for billions of people who lack them today. But it means much more than that. In a socialist society, the productive power of society is harnessed to serve everyone's needs. The collective provides the foundation of a flowering, creative expression and individual achievement. Think of it this way. In ancient Athens, the work of a few hundred thousand slaves provided about 50,000 citizens with the freedom to meet, debate, and make decisions democratically. It allowed the flowering of great philosophy, theater, and art. Imagine now a society where the productive powers of society are so advanced that able-bodied people need only work a few hours every day to provide what is needed by society as a whole. In such a society, a socialist society, everyone will have the leisure time to pursue all sorts of dreams that today are out of reach to all but a minority. As Trotsky wrote, quote, "Spiritual creativeness demands freedom. The very purpose of communism is to subject nature to technique and technique to plan, and compel the raw material to give unstintingly everything to man that he needs. Far more than that, its highest goal is to free finally and once and for all the creative forces of mankind from all pressure, limitation, and humiliating dependence. Personal relations, science, and art will not know any externally imposed plan, nor even any shadow of compulsion. To what degree spiritual creativeness shall be individual or collective will depend entirely upon its creators." End quote and end of section.